Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, I love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk. Well, Mary, we're done with these Oscars. I mean, you and I agonized for a year over all of this. And one of the ones that not many people talk about is called Sirat, S-I-R-A-T.
So it takes place in Morocco.
And it's Spanish. And what is the title? What is that, Sirat?
Sirat is a term that represents the bridge from hell to heaven. Yeah. Is understood that that bridge is as thin as a human hair. Ooh. And as sharp as a sword.
Oh, yes. In this case, it also can generically mean a way.
Yes.
A way of going.
A pathway. Yes.
Okay, so we're in the desert, and we might talk about some desert films a little bit later on. My impression, this is a weird movie. Am I right or wrong? Mary, what's your feeling?
It's a very existential film. And it is unusual not probably focused on a culture or a story that most people would be familiar with.
Yeah, it doesn't have a standard narrative.
It does not.
All about it was one of the films that was nominated by Oscar for Best International Picture.
Yes, it was.
Mary, basically, what's the story?
Okay, why are you tossing that to me when we just said there is no story?
Yeah.
We open,
yeah.
There
has to be something.
Okay, so I'm going to stumble through this. We open with a fairly, I think it's about 15 minutes long, nonverbal imagery. There's no narration to accompany the imagery of these massive speakers being set up in the desert, and then the rave starts.
Yes.
As that is going on, we then focus on father and a son, Luis and Esteban, who are making their way through this rave crowd, which is there for days. People are camping out. The techno music, the laser show is going on for multiple days. And they're trying to work through the crowd because Luis's daughter, Esteban's sister, Mar, has been missing for 5 months. And they last heard that she might be in this rave culture in Morocco.
And Luis is an everyman. I mean, most of us just have never attended a rave, much less in the desert. I mean, this is definitely
I would say speak for yourself, but I have to claim that as well.
Well, you and Bob have done quite a bit, but I just don't remember.
Not raves. Not
a rave. And yes, one of the more impressive, probably one of the more energetic parts of this film is the setup of the sound system. And you're so right. There's nothing that happens, and you begin to wonder. And I like that. The sense that exactly what's going on here.
True. And then you're in this mystery of what happened to Mar, and their quest to find her is introduced.
Yeah. And initially, we don't see her at all.
We only see her in photographs.
So they are looking for her. She's gone. It's been at least 5 months.
Yes.
She's been. And I'd like to talk a little bit later about families searching for each other. And particularly about fathers searching for daughters, which I find a motif within the last 10 years to 15 years, even in Marvel Comics, where I find family members looking for each other and especially fathers looking for daughters. One of the more powerful parts of this film, since nothing else happens here. And it's certainly not Lawrence of Arabia.
No, a lot is introduced. And I think for me, that's what made the film not enjoyable, is a lot of things are introduced. For instance, during the rave, we assume the military shows up and starts this evacuation of the area, particularly calls out any European Union citizens need to leave right away and be put on transport. And then we hear through radio broadcasts, not only at this time, but then throughout the rest of the film, that there's some sort of war that has broken out.
Yeah, it could be World War III. Yeah.
But it's never explained. A group of renegade ravers decide to break out of the long line of vehicles that are trying to make their way out of this valley. Luis and Esteban decide to follow them because at one point during their conversations, they have been told that there's going to be another rave further south in Morocco and that Mar might be there. So they decide to follow this group in their, I assume, rented van.
Very quick.
Very quick decision.
When they peel off to follow them, they've heard that there's going to be a second rave. Wave of a rave. And so they follow them. One of the harrowing parts of this film is that there's absolutely nothing around. I mean, you don't even have sand dunes. Just have flat, barren area. And all the time I'm worried that their trucks are gonna fall apart.
Well, especially the van. And when you look at the vehicles that these ravers live in and are driving in, one looks like it's a former military transport and another looks like a souped-up bus on massive truck tires. And they're making their way through very inhospitable environment. And they decide over time that even though Luis doesn't have a vehicle that they think will make the trip, they do decide that's okay for him to follow, and they help him along the way.
Yeah. One of the tensions for me is that I'm always worried that these machines are going to break down. I mean, how could they not? And yet they continue to go on. So the story, much as it is really not about their being able to survive, but rather whether they're going to find his daughter or not.
Well, that doesn't even get brought up anymore. I mean, it's just, and that's so much of this film. A lot is introduced about the missing daughter, the quest to find her, the potential outbreak of war, and none of it is resolved.
For me, as a father of multiple children, after 5 months, I think I'm going to have to let that go ahead.
And she's an adult, by the way.
Right.
We should let you know that Mar is an adult. They just haven't heard from her for 5 months.
And don't you wonder what would happen when they find her?
Yes.
You think she's going to come back? Oh, Dad, so glad to see you. Oh, brother, good. Let's go.
I was watching the film, and the other thing that didn't make sense is they're driving for days, and after this initial war is broken out, they're trying to get gas. They end up buying gas off the back of donkeys in these massive cans on the black market. But they're driving for days across pretty inhospitable environment, no sign of civilization whatsoever. Where do they get the gas to do that? And two, at one point you do see a cell phone tower out in the middle of nowhere built on top of this mountain, yet they're not using their cell phones to call for help. Very illogical. A lot of it was very illogical.
As you might find out later on, these players are real ravers.
Three of the cast members who play the ravers were actually cast from raves. In fact, the director and co-screenwriter, Olivier Lax, Parisian-born but from Galicia in Spain, parents, and claims both countries, he actually staged a rave. And that's what we see in the opening 15-minute sequence is an actual rave. And it went on for days, as raves do, to capture the true essence of that culture and the true feeling. I will tell you that Gateway, where we saw the film, has an excellent sound system to the point that I put in loops to deaden the sound, because it was, you felt very immersed in that techno beat music, and it resurfaces throughout the film. I was grateful because even after wearing the loops, I had a headache after the film. It's not for everyone.
Who went with you?
I went by myself.
Really?
I found no takers to be able to see it with me.
Oh,
really?
My goodness. Yeah, because you have such astute viewers as your friend. And
in hindsight, I'm glad they didn't accompany me.
Oh, boy. They would have beaten you up.
I would have had to make it up to them.
We trust you.
Yes, I would have had to make it up to them.
We've revealed very little about this plot to Sirat, which is the way. And so, Mary, what do you suggest about Surratt?
No.
Isn't there anybody that you would recommend?
I liked Pippa the dog.
Oh.
And the other dog.
Yes.
It has two dogs in the film.
Very nice touch.
Yes.
Very necessary for a sensibly inhumane landscape and story.
Yeah. What about you?
I have very few people I know whom I would recommend except fellow critics. And even they would complain.
Well, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention this actually has received internationally relatively good reviews and, in fact, won the jury prize at Cannes last year.
I know. You're right. I know.
But there are always a few detractors, and it sounds like we are among them. I told Bob I thought you would like this film and that we would have a discourse of opposites. He's going to be surprised.
Yeah. And please tell our biggest critic, your husband, Bob, that actually I appreciated the movie and I understood why it should be entered as one of the best international pictures. But you just have to tolerate the landscape, which is metaphoric for the very story itself. There's nothing going on. There's some absurdity about the story. I think it is one of the most unique movies I've seen, but it is not one of the most entertaining movies I've ever seen.
No, it is very unique. It is not very entertaining. And you are in the desert for a long time, to the point that I actually checked the clock on my phone three times.
Oh, that's not good.
Wondering when this would be over, because I knew what the runtime was for the film.
I know the signal for your affection for a movie is when you start looking at your watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good Lord. You know, I mentioned earlier in our It's Movie Time discussion that I'm interested in the family members looking for family members that I've seen in more movies, even Marvel movies, over the last 10 to 15 years. I'm wondering why. I guess we're always looking for family, so that I shouldn't be so surprised that movies themselves would be. This is the end of the world to me when you're looking for your daughter who's been gone with raves for 5 months.
Well, I think we're living in a period where technology has replaced direct connection that humans as beings on this earth generally need.
Yes.
And so I think there's a lot of themes about reconnecting with family and genuinely having family. Even the ravers, there's a little bit of a discussion about, you know, do you miss your family?
Yes.
The one gentleman says he prefers the family that he's found amongst his raver friends.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to his flesh and blood.
And 30, 40, 50 years ago, we were entranced by hippies who had left the world and gone on their own world. And this one seems to be a modernization of it. There's, as you see those writhing bodies out in the desert, there's no theme there. Except maybe freedom of some sort.
Freedom of expression,
yeah.
Freedom of connection. There's actually a code in the raving community, PLUR, and if I remember correctly, it stands for peace, love, unity, and respect.
Oh, all right.
And that those values pervade everything about the rave community and having raves.
Well, Mary Arena, you never disappoint me. Your research is always impeccable. PLUR.
But interestingly, in 2003 in the United States, our federal government passed what was called the RAVE Act for short, but it actually is about the use of illicit drugs at somebody's property,
right.
And that there are federal penalties if you are proven or found guilty of hosting a rave, because this is when this came up, having knowledge that illicit drugs at the time, such as ecstasy, would be available and served.
Well, and in this film, Surratt, you do have the incursion of military coming to break them up.
You do.
And that's actually the spinoff from that is when our protagonist, Luis, and his son follow a group that they think are going to the second rave.
Right.
He's just not making sense.
No.
In this.
There's a lot of bad decisions that are made, basically.
This is really good.
To get us where we go.
And in this very same family theme, sentimental value.
Yes, which did win the Oscar.
Oh, yes.
For
yes.
Best International Film, much to my delight.
So that one you approve of.
Absolutely.
Oh, couldn't get Bob to see it.
I could not.
All right.
It's true.
But it is a father looking to connect with his daughters.
Right, reconnect with his daughters.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah. In this case, he's what the world would think a more substantial father than Luis from Surratt.
Well, we don't know anything about any of these characters' backgrounds.
You're so right. You're so right. What am I saying?
He's a father looking for a daughter with his son and their dog, and they're in what I assume is a rented van.
Yes, yes, yes. One of the more traditional films about this is To Kill a Mockingbird, where you have Dad and Scout, or whoever, the little girl, is it?
Yeah, Scout.
Yeah, Scout. And I always like these family-connected, serious dramas, so like that. And more recently, within the last few years, The Whale, where he's alone, and I think he's visited by his daughter. And I mentioned some sci-fi, and Logan was looking for his daughter. King Richard, the tennis.
Yes.
He has his daughters.
Serena and Venus.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that Will Smith?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just was emphasizing, where has he gone? Oh Lord, Oscar.
Although Michael B. Jordan did, in his acceptance speech for his Best Actor Oscar, did reference Will Smith as one of the people upon whose shoulders he stands. Among many, he mentioned Sidney Poitier, Halle Berry.
Wow. As you know, I don't sit through the ceremony. It's difficult for me.
That's okay.
It's too many.
It's difficult for a lot of people at 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Right. And to watch needy people for 3 hours is very difficult for me.
True.
Oh, well, let me see. These are people who make millions of dollars and everybody knows who they are. And they still have to have three or four, not just one ceremony to applaud them, but more. But when you take somebody like Jessie Buckley, I'm very happy to have her applauded for the genius that she is.
Well, I was thrilled that Hamnet won that Academy Award because it was well-deserved.
Yeah, you know, and Hamnet didn't have a chance to win the Best Picture.
No. I
mean, you know, it was way too, what shall we say, way too quiet, way too serious, way too heavy to win it. But Jessie Buckley was hands down the Best Actress of the Year.
Agreed.
And she actually is playing now in The Bride! Exclamation point.
She is. But we digress.
But we did want to get a little bit toward that.
So back to the desert films.
Yes, Mary.
When I watched Lawrence of Arabia, which I did on the big screen at the Ohio Theater, you literally are in the desert for about 40 minutes of that 3 hour plus film.
Is that right?
And you feel it.
Yes.
You definitely feel it in Surratt. But you feel it in a different way, mostly because there's no plot moving forward. This is very much an existential view of human tragedy and the will to go on in life to an unknown destiny when unknown death is at every around every corner. So it's different. But I will say, if you're interested in films that have a story that take place in Africa, I would say Raiders of the Lost Ark, which takes place in Egypt.
Thank you, Mary.
Is a great story.
Yes, right.
And has stood the test of time. And of course, almost everyone's top film, Casablanca, takes place in Morocco.
Yes, thank you.
And that story also stands the test of time.
It does. However, there is absolutely no desert in that.
There doesn't have to be, because we have Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman.
Thank you.
Paul Henri, Peter Lorre, and a great script and a great story.
One that I remember was Hotel Rwanda, which was actually based on a real story.
Based on a real story, tragically.
The survival during the Rwandan genocide, showcasing the courage of those who fought against the Hutu militia.
Yes, and Don Cheadle was nominated for an Academy Award for
the
lead role in that film.
And looking at the more mercantile side of that, Blood Diamond also was set there. It might have been Leo or somebody who was the lead in that one. And that's really about the dangers and ethical dilemmas faced by diamond miners in conflict-ridden Sierra Leone. Beasts of No Nation, about the experience of Agu, a child soldier fighting in the civil war of an unnamed African country. Now, that's grim.
That is
child soldiers.
That is very grim. Unfortunately, the history of colonization and tribalism leads to a lot of grim stories.
Oh, yeah.
Like Blood Diamond and like the one you just referenced.
And yet, there's always Lion King. Right?
There is Lion King.
I mean, certainly this that has done quite a bit to increase safari expeditions.
I'm sure it has. And trips to Broadway and the West End for a great stage version of the same story.
Oh, yes. So, Mary, talk a little bit more about the Oscars that we just passed. You and I have talked over the years about it. What one? Did we see Hamlet together? Did we do Hamlet?
We did review Hamlet.
Yeah, I thought we did.
We also reviewed Sentimental Value.
Yes, we did. How come you get all the good movies? I don't know. I'm getting
complaints.
Know.
You're in charge. You're the producer. I read
complaints.
At the beginning of every show that you are the producer. So I didn't watch all the Oscar ceremony. I do know who won. I felt that there were a lot of really good quality films. The three big films were Frankenstein, One Battle After Another, and Sinners. And all three got their flowers. All three won significant awards. But the clear nod went to One Battle After Another because it picked up the Oscars for Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Casting, along with Best Director for Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes,
Did I get his whole name correctly?
I know you correctly. Yeah.
Who, longtime respected director and filmmaker in Hollywood, and many felt that he was going to get his due for this film, and he did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's considered his masterpiece, and it was recognized as such.
Certainly, sniffing right at his heels was Sinners, which is a great piece by Ryan Coogler. Who would have thought the Creed director directs something as complex as this, and an actor who wins for playing two roles?
Yes.
This is quite a film, and 16 nominations. But yes. I knew even 60 wouldn't have won against One Battle After Another.
K-pop Demon Hunters won for Best Animated Feature along with Best Song. So that wave continued to overtake the animation world.
Yes. Let's see here. Well, makeup and hairstyling. Frankenstein certainly was.
Frankenstein won a lot of the awards in that area.
Yeah.
Costume. I think they got costume. And I will say, before we leave Best Anime, I did watch all the animated shorts, and I did watch live action shorts. I was thrilled that The Girl Who Cried Pearls won. I thought that was really terrific.
Okay.
In the Best Animated Short Film. The Best Live Action Short Film ended up being a rare tie.
Yes.
And the winners were The Singers, I thought was wonderful and has a terrific, cheeky ending. And then the French existential Two People Exchanging Saliva, which I was somewhat disappointed
it was picked
as a winner. Apparently,
what's going on? Oh, it's French.
Oh, it's French and it's existential, just like Seurat is Spanish and existential.
Yes, yeah.
Let's recognize them.
How are the one we agree on?
In terms of a winner or the
well, no, just
the short. The live action short, the one that I would recommend that you see is Jane Austen's period drama.
Oh,
it's available for free on YouTube. It literally made me laugh out loud.
And I'm tough on comedy, and I did too.
Oh, my God. And did you read the credits?
No.
You need to read the credits because
really?
For the first 10 seconds, someone's name pops up in a role attached to the film that also made me laugh.
Oh, good.
So you need to rewatch that part of it anyway. The other live action short that I just thought was a really sweet, sweet gift was A Friend of Dorothy. Wizard of Oz title, but it's just a lovely portrayal of two people. When you talk about finding and creating your own family, just like Seurat, it's about two people coming together who create a deep, lovely friendship.
Thank you, yeah.
And it's just a lovely film. And again, it's a short, so it doesn't. You're not spending 2 hours in the desert
for the reward. We're both word persons, and I'm very especially sensitive to the words that come with any motion picture. So I'll tell you one that gets no play. Certainly did get a Best Original Screenplay. And it is available online. Take a look at what Ethan Hawke can do.
Ah.
Playing Lawrence Hart, the great lyricist. And he practically has the whole film. What interests me most is the use of language. Yes. What a terrific screenplay.
Blue Moon?
Blue Moon, yeah. That's one of his songs. blue moon, you got me standing alone. Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. So I was very pleased, and I thought I wanted to mention that because everything else gets play, but poor Ethan Hawke, who's been in probably 1 million movies, finally has one, really gets your attention. I'll tell you what gets my attention. How do they make them so short? Because Hart
was. It's
all
tricks.
It is. It is. It reminds me that camera has no enemies. It just can do whatever it wants. And there are shots there where obviously he's on his knees. But it really is quite impressive an achievement for Ethan Hawke. And it did deserve the best screen. And I think he also was nominated, wasn't he, for Best Actor?
He was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Ethan Hawke, pay attention to him. Production design, of course, Frankenstein is what a fantastic production design. And yet, for Hamnet, since they couldn't book the Globe Theater in London, they built their own.
They built their own, but that didn't get any nod.
I gotcha.
And we would be remiss if we did not mention that the Best Cinematography Academy Award went to Sinners, and for the first time ever, a woman.
Yes.
And that brought a huge standing ovation from the audience.
Wonderful.
And well-deserved.
Yes. When we look at Best Actress, I keep touting Jessie Buckley as if she were going to be my, I don't know how many wives I've had, but as if she were going to be my next wife.
Coming true confession.
I know, right. But I'll tell you, another impressive role in this was Rose Byrne in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
Yes, and we also reviewed that.
Yes, and I think we warned you that it wasn't for everybody.
But she carries that film in a different way than the way I think Jessie Buckley carries Hamnet, only because of the intensity of the film is almost entirely on Rose's character and,
yes,
and her face.
She must
in
be
particular.
In every frame. Yeah.
But Jessie's performance in Hamnet as Agnes Shakespeare emotionally carries the film. And the final scene in that movie,
Tour de Force,
is one of the most powerful scenes
you
will ever see on film.
You got
and,
it.
And she deserved to win the Academy Award just for that 10 minutes or so scene.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've discounted Marty Supreme as being confection.
So
I have to
what
say,
our listeners don't know is I knew you liked that film, and I saw it, and I literally was like, what was John thinking when I walked out of that film?
Well, see, I let myself go. I go where it wants me to go. I will tell you that there are a whole bunch of world champion skiers were visiting my daughter in Sun Valley, and I had recommended it to them, and they loved it. But that is for, isn't it for young men?
It's for young men.
I know.
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, that's perfect.
I'm not the demographic for Marty Supreme. Let's just say that.
The other one, and I guess we can close on this, because underneath all of this, one of my very favorite of the year was Train Dreams.
Mm, yes.
And this is one that not a lot of people talk about, but it's actually available on Netflix.
I believe so.
Yeah, and what a beautiful movie.
It is a beautiful film. It does have more of a story than Surratt, although it's a quiet story. But it's quiet and beautiful and really about the depth of love that one can feel for another.
Well, Mary Irina, we've certainly gone a long way from Surratt. I can tell how
thankfully
how anxious we were to get to this end of our show so that we could get all of our likes in and kind of say, well, Surratt, it's a good choice
listed. It's existential nature appeals to the European and international community, and intellectually I get that. But as a moviegoer, I just had a hard time enjoying this film, and I'm not sure, unless you're into existentialism in the rave culture, that you would enjoy this film.
And I think if you're hardcore, you could enjoy it. But otherwise, don't recommend it to your friends. That you will lose friends.
And you may lose your hearing as well.